You're listening to AdLib, a podcast for the advertising nerd in you. Recorded and produced at Pushbutton Productions in downtown Orlando. Pushbuttonproductions.com. Let's see what's in store for you today.
The campaign of the week is Grandma's Cookies.
I love it. It's so deliciously awkward. I can't wait to talk about it.
Yep.
We're going to be talking about Tesla Motors and the incredible things they've been able to do with their Model 3. And the fact that they spend, like, no money on advertising.
Trace?
Yeah.
Ah. And last but not least, I saw Gatorade's tribute to Peyton Manning, and it just kind of made me wonder about celebrity endorsements, and specifically athlete endorsements. Do they work? Is it worthwhile? Does anyone care?
All that, plus useless commentary and tasteless jokes on AdLib. Here are John, Yash, and Brian.
We're ready. Here we go. Lots to talk about.
Lots to talk about. You know, it is, no show would be complete without asking Brian what his weekend was like.
Oh, God.
I can't wait.
I broke the law this weekend.
We have not been asking Brian all day what his weekend was like so that we could do it in here. Yeah.
I broke the law this weekend, but it'll be, once I explain to you how this happened, you will absolutely understand. And this may lead to a rhetorical question, which I know you don't like. But, so I went to the beach, which I know is shocking for me on the weekend, right? I like to walk. It's a good way to get exercise while I'm also working on my skin cancer.
Be older,
but,
Brian. Be older right now.
So I happened to wander into this part of the beach that is occasionally clothing optional. And I ran into an old friend of mine, and she was there with a friend of hers, and they...
With no clothing on?
Exactly, yes. Yep.
Oh.
And, it was a beautiful day. Like, everything about it was beautiful. The ocean was beautiful. The sky was beautiful. The sand was beautiful. And then I see a couple of beautiful women. And before I know it, we're just kind of hanging out, chatting, and one of them lights a joint.
Ooh.
So the question is, what do you do when a naked woman hands you a joint?
You consume it.
You smoke it, obviously, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that happened. And then magically what happened after that is, you can imagine, the rum runners after we got to the tiki bar tasted a little bit better. And I was kind of thirsty, a little bit of cottonmouth. And then every piece of music I heard after that sounded amazing.
I guess, and what everyone wants to know is, did you disrobe at any point?
Yeah.
I got to take the fifth on that one.
Oh, no.
I'll admit to certain crimes of law and nature, but...
How did you even recognize them without their clothes on? I feel like if I ran into even good friends of mine and they didn't have clothes on, I wouldn't even recognize them.
Well, they look kind of the same. They just don't have clothes on. I don't know what to tell you. But I've seen them before.
Oh.
At this very same location.
Did you meet at this location?
Is
this
years ago, oddly enough, yes. Well, sort of. We were also doing a beach cleanup thing, and we met at the previously anonymous but aforementioned tiki bar.
Where does little Brian go on his weekends? I just want to know. We're going to have to eye him.
At any point were they, like, weirded out that they saw you and they were...
No, I've seen them many times. And literally.
Wow.
So, no, it was perfectly comfy and fine, and even though I don't do that sort of thing much anymore, I was relatively comfortable. I didn't get all freaked out and paranoid, and I thought it worked out pretty well. And so I fought the law, and I won this weekend, I guess is what I'm trying to say, but
nice.
That's my true confession.
Congratulations.
Yash? Oh, yeah, I guess you and I were both at a conference.
We were at a conference in Tampa. It's a debaucherous situation in Tampa, and I also saw naked people. I paid for them. You don't go to the strip clubs in Tampa. You really haven't had a Tampa weekend.
And you gambled?
And I gambled. We went out to the Hard Rock. It was a really good time. As we've mentioned before, I'm very cheap. I mean...
Is this our cheap Yash segment?
I have admitted this in the
weekly
past. Well, okay, so gambling and... I don't know. I don't want to say gambling addiction. That sounds harsh. Gambling runs in my family. I come from a culture that is very pro-gambling, gambling-centric. I certainly know that in my past I have had ancestors who are addicted to gambling. I don't have an addictive personality, so I don't consider myself somebody who would get into that. But I have the opposite. I have the I feel so bizarre putting money down on a table.
You're addicted. You're just addicted to being cheap.
I'm addicted to keeping my money. So, you know, I pretty much will only play like the $5 tables. And this is not a product of, you know, not having money. I think when I was younger, when I was 18, I wouldn't gamble just because, you know, whatever, I didn't have the cash. And now I have no desire to do it. Right. Like, not even play lottery. I think, you know, when Powerball was up at whatever it was at, $2 billion or whatever ridiculous number it was at.
That's when I play the least. Because everyone else is playing.
Yeah, takes the fun away from it, right?
Well, I don't know. The point is, I think I split 3 tickets when Powerball was up that high, and that was it. So, yeah, I think we went all the tables. It was Saturday night, so all the tables were like 25, because I'll play blackjack. I like craps, but it's got to be $10 tables. I just can't do
right.
I can't do the $100 tables.
So if you were to play a $100 table and win, would you walk away or would you play again?
That is that question has a fallacy. If I played a $100 table, I would have had a massive aneurysm from the stress.
Panic attack.
Before finding out if I won.
Yeah.
I would have died before finding out.
Going back to winning the lottery, I'm next in line. My brother and my sister have both won the lottery. So
really?
At some point I need to start playing.
Good Lord, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I was actually going to point out, by the way, for people, maybe this is their first time listening to this program and they're wondering if gambling, nudity, and booze are frequent subjects.
They will be.
They are.
So this weekend I got to experience the conference from the perspective of a single person. John was at the same conference with his wife and children. And so he got the married person perspective of this conference, which I am dying to hear all about, actually.
I'm wondering who heard more crying, you or him?
Mine were mostly muffled cries.
Those are the best. Best kind. You know, it was for the kids, it's just it's a change of scenery, and they love that stuff. So I thought it was really cool to have them come out. So yeah, it was fun. Nothing really crazy happened. Yeah.
That's disappointing.
This
I thought
is what
maybe
you have to look forward to.
I do want to talk about what's ailing Yash, because there's usually something. So last week,
can you tell I'm over here scratching my eyeball out?
So last week it was a sinus infection from Memphis.
This is an extension of that.
This week it's his dry red eyes.
Clear eyes is awesome.
Nothing to do with my experience at the beach, apparently. But
if you have any itching or flaking, you should probably get it checked out. This is just an allergy. I don't know.
This started like yesterday.
No. This has been happening since Memphis. It's just getting aggravated here. When I got back from Memphis, it all went away for like 3 days, and then it started right back up again. So I don't know if I have something in here. It seems to be worse when I'm at work than when I'm at home. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But my eyes are probably bloodshot.
They are. Yeah.
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 They're really painful.
It's pretty funny.
Don't mind me while
is it bad that we're laughing at his misery?
We'll wait and see what happens next week.
Laughing at my misery. This
what's wrong with Yash?
By the way, he's not a hypochondriac. There just really is always something wrong
with
him.
There's always. I'm not
a little hypochondriac.
No. Yeah. I never go to the doctor. That's for sure.
That's so you can sit here and complain and contemplate about what's going on.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to be cured of anything.
If I didn't give you guys fodder to make fun of me, then what kind of relationship would we have?
Fodder.
What would we talk about all day if there was nothing to make fun of me about?
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the campaign of the week. Are you my grandma?
You smell like my grandma.
So in the listening audience, if you have not seen this campaign yet, you can check it out in the show notes. It is well worth your time. There are 4 spots listed on the Adweek page. And so basically this is based on a children's book called Are You My Mother? And what the creative crew did was, you know, they got this account, and it's a heritage brand. I mean, we've all seen them in, you know, convenience stores. We've seen them in concession stands. And so the crew got nostalgic with this whole heritage brand and got weird and awkward. And so I absolutely love it because there's multiple settings. So there's a park setting, there's a break room setting, there's a children's cafeteria setting, and there's all these really interesting racial intersections. So there's a black guy on a bench, and there's I don't remember if the girl's white or Hispanic or whatever, but she comes up to him and she says, "Are you my grandmother?" And
vaguely Asian, maybe?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. Possibly. And so, you know, it crosses all these racial boundaries, which is really cool. And it's the comedy comes from the tension and the awkwardness, which, Yash, we all know you love.
I love tension. I love awkwardness. Yeah. I think there's no better advertising.
And the audio branding is really good in this, actually, because it's the same sentimental music that happens every time someone smells the cookie. So you've got this whole sensory perception going on, and then when they smell the cookie, the same music track plays on all four spots, and then eventually the characters, the normal character, I don't know if this is like an improv term, but the normal character eventually gives in to the weird character. Is that a thing?
There's several different kinds of scene work that you can do, and in this particular one, what you've got is you've got your normal grounded character and your character who is way out there. And, you know, in that tension and trying to negotiate where it's going to end up is where you get the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the comedy tends to interject. So, I mean, if both the characters were absolutely nuts and way out there, it wouldn't be funny. And if both characters were totally straight, it wouldn't necessarily be funny. Who's your copywriting guy that you love?
Luke.
Luke Sullivan. He talks about creating tension in advertising and
conflict.
Creating conflict, and it's absolutely right. It's brilliant, and you know, it's why so much advertising falls flat, in my opinion.
The goal of advertising is obviously to sell product, right? And my awareness of Grandma's cookies really wasn't
zero.
It wasn't necessarily zero, but it was probably below 5 out of 100. For me, for this cookie, I would absolutely at least try it.
You know, we've worked on a beer brand that I've never tried either.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating, the fact that, I mean, I've seen it on menus before, and I've actually never ordered it. I wonder, and you know what beer brand I'm talking about. I don't want to mention it, but, you know.
Maybe that should be our drink of the week.
Have been our drink of the week.
I have ordered Dos Equis. Occasionally when I spot a nice lady down the bar, and I want to kind of work my way into that accent, kind of. Trying to pretend I'm interesting and...
You're literally making panties go back on right now.
By the way you said that word.
Yeah.
That's fucking terrible. God, I hate that
Don't
word.
Ever say that again.
And then when you overemphasize...
The T, that's how... That's what it is. It's the T. You gotta
absolutely.
Hit the T.
Nice. That's so gross.
All right, Brian, what do you got?
What do you got, Bri?
I want to talk about... athlete endorsement kind of stuff.
Ooh. Okay.
Which is fascinating because, what made me think of it is I saw Gatorade's tribute to Peyton Manning, which was actually very well done.
I haven't seen it yet. Will that be on the podcast site?
So,
absolutely.
Gatorade being started by the Florida Gators paying tribute to Peyton Manning, who he never beat. He never beat the Gators,
correct? That's correct. Not when he was a stinking Tennessee Volunteer. He did not.
Ah.
And see, that's part of the problem I have. Is I still think of him as a stinking Tennessee Volunteer, even though you could argue that he's one of the, what, 5 best quarterbacks ever to play in the NFL? I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I still see that pancreatic orange, that nasty-looking orange crap that they have every time I see Peyton Manning. And I guess the point is...
You should name colors for Crayola.
I just think of bile mixed with orange, and I see Tennessee. That's just the way it works out. But that begs the question, does it make you... change your behavior, athlete endorsements. Do you, because your favorite athlete said you should buy this detergent, do you actually run out and throw that in your washer right away? Does it?
So, being a big Green Bay fan, Rodgers and State Farm, right?
Yeah,
right. Discount double check.
Brilliant campaign.
Oh, yeah.
Even as a non-pro football watcher, I can get behind this campaign. It's
right.
Awesome.
I have no desire to switch insurances. Now, if that was one of the options that a broker laid out to me, I would absolutely consider it, and I'd probably be somewhat excited to consider it, but I'm not going to go change my insurance provider.
Well, I think that something like an insurance or a bank is such a high barrier to entry. You just have to get into the conversation. So I wonder, like, you know, if Aaron Rodgers endorsed Burger King, the Whopper, would you... go buy a Whopper. I mean,
last time you and I got Whoppers,
I had the panic attack. Biggest panic attack of my
life.
We both, okay, so Yash and I we're going to, he wanted to test drive a Mazda.
Oh, God, this is so long ago.
Yeah. And
it wasn't a Miata, was it?
No, it was a Mazda 3.
Back when Miatas were cool.
Back when Miatas were cool. That's not a
when
thing.
When was that?
That never happened.
Never. So we were in Stanford at the time, and we, you know, we take the toll road over to 1792, and it's actually kind of like where my house is now. And so
we were in one of our health kicks back then.
Oh, and this is why you went to Burger King.
And I had a craving for Burger King, and the dude who was our trainer at the time was like, dude, I mean, it was like a week where I had been craving a Burger King chicken sandwich. And he's like, just go get it. Just whatever. Who cares? Like, just go get it.
So, and then go figure, you know, two Jews in a car. So it was like two for two on the sandwiches. So we each got two. And I think you bought because I was, you know, going with you to go.
Boy, that was
a special occasion.
That was a really special occasion.
And so we're eating this. We're like, nom, nom, nom.
And it's every bit as good as a chicken sandwich I ate as a child that I recall. I mean, I was obsessed with Burger King chicken sandwiches as a kid.
And Burger King is, and it's funny because my wife brought this up too. They're heavy on, they're always heavy on the mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Always.
Always.
And I never really noticed that. And so him and I ate the sandwich. And like so like we're driving to the Mazda dealer and all of a sudden I'm like, oh. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, yeah, I feel terrible. I was like, I feel like shit. And we're just like completely having a meltdown in the car.
You sure it wasn't just the simple fact that you were driving to a Mazda dealership that made you nauseous? Or
I ended up going home and straight to bed and just having the cold sweats. For the next 45 minutes. Now, of course, we had also been eating really healthy for months at that point.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. But
So your favorite sports hero?
Tim Tebow.
So if he told you to go to Burger King right now and chow on a couple of sandwiches, you would?
No, probably not. I can't deal with that.
That's I think what it does is like it sheds the brand in a positive light, but it doesn't necessarily change a behavior.
Yeah.
Towards the product.
It's interesting that you say that because obviously they're just trying to build brand awareness whenever they hire a celebrity to promote whatever their brand is. In some cases, they look to validate their product features, and this is interesting. Think about Troy Polamalu.
Okay.
Head and Shoulders,
yeah. Right?
Right, the dude with the the hair.
Right.
So that kind of makes sense, and obviously they're looking to boost brand equity in the long term. So I understand what they're trying to do, and I don't consider myself to be a normal human being, but do normal human beings really change their purchasing behavior based on that? I don't. And back to Peyton Manning. The nationwide commercials, really?
Yes.
Do you really, you know, Janet, you know who did the original
yes,
nationwide?
Yes, you will never let us forget thing, right? Who did this.
Janet Kramer. Would you rather see Janet Kramer or Peyton Manning slobbering over a piece of dead chicken?
You taste so good.
Ugh, that's so gross.
Nothing beats that new car smell.
Oh, my God.
Those are funny ads. I get your point.
Not only does it make me never want to buy nationwide insurance, I'm never going to eat a chicken parmesan sandwich again.
And this is true because we were at Buca di Beppo the other day, and he flat out rejected the chicken parm, even though
absolutely.
It was delicious.
Did, didn't you?
It looked good. I just can't eat it because I think about Peyton Manning drooling, and it's just not happening.
He won't even ride in your Buick, will you, Yash?
You will not ride in my Buick.
I know that in the early days with NASCAR, they saw people in rural areas who had low budgets who were buying name brands that were sponsoring the sport. They were spending money because they knew that was fueling their sport.
Mm.
I don't know if it's that way anymore, but I know that's the way it was, you know, 30 years ago.
And that's an interesting example because there is no doubt if you are a fan of a certain driver, you know who that team's sponsors are. You know what's on his car.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
If you're a Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan, you know that his car is... What's on his car?
Nationwide.
There you go. See?
Oh, no.
Isn't that perfect?
I've got some lightning round. So you want to try lightning round?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes, well...
What is the prize? Is there a prize?
Whatever's in my pocket. That's not my wallet. That would be fantastic. It's an old mint that's not in a wrapper. It's got pieces of lint all over it. We're going to do some lightning round impressions on whatever comes to mind. Whatever comes to mind. So, topic number one, McDonald's. $1.5 billion creative account is up for grabs. I'm not a proponent of fast food in any way, but if somebody walked up to me with that kind of money, I would have to sell whatever you wanted.
Let me get a McPick, too.
Now that you've just told them the reaction you had last time you went to Burger King, maybe they'll be a fan.
Oh, actually, that would be kind of cool.
McDonald's, we won't give you a panic attack.
Well, let's not go crazy. But it looks like the account went under review. Omnicom, WPP, and Publicis are pitching the business for the creative. It's currently being handled by Leo Burnett and DDB.
Hey, man, I'm just going to say I enjoy it every once in a while. I really do.
John's drunk go-to food.
Oh, my God, it is.
Is that Taco Bell?
No.
I was obsessed with Taco Bell as a high school senior.
Everybody
Oh, my God. If my body didn't immediately reject whatever's in a chalupa, I would
First
eat.
First of all, it's called a chalupa. It sounds like a good bathroom noise.
All right, topic number two.
Speaking of colon cleansing.
Apple loses its fight to keep labels off of Chinese-made accessories.
All right, explain this to me like I'm an 8-year-old.
So China is a country, and they...
Wait, is that what you eat off of when you're having guests for dinner?
It could be. But they create products over there that they steal from American manufacturers. They create accessories for the Apple products, and then they slap the Apple logo on it and send it over here, which is something that you know Donald Trump has been railing against, saying that it's...
Right. They are winning at everything.
They are apparently fighting this in Chinese courts, but not being very successful at actually keeping their logo off of Chinese-made products.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't feel like they're hurting for cash, so...
Next topic I got here is Hulu is planning on competing with cable. Have you heard about this?
Well, they already are,
Hulu?
Right?
Starting next year, Hulu is not just going to be the place to go watch old TV shows, day-old TV shows, obviously. So Hulu announced that it's going to be offering subscribers the ability to stream live programming from broadcast and cable brands in 2017. So that's going to include some live sports. It's going to be some news and event coverage that you obviously don't have through other providers. So, I mean, is this enough to get you to cut the cord? I've already cut the cord.
I would have if it wasn't for the NFL. So, like, I pay DirecTV more money than I should because of the NFL. And as soon as that's going, and I tell them every time I talk to them, not that they care. I said, if it wasn't for the NFL, you would absolutely not have my money for the Sunday ticket.
Right. I'm easily confused. So, the more options I have, you would think as a consumer that would be a good thing, but it just kind of throws me off. Like, it's just so easy to pay your monthly cable bill, flick through the guide, and whatever's not on, well, whoop-de-doo, and whatever it is, whatever is on, you watch.
So I want to talk about Tesla. Such a fascinating thing.
The band or the scientist?
Yeah, I will vouch for Tesla, the band. Tesla Motor Cars. Obviously, everybody's aware that they announced the launch of their Model 3. They are up to 400,000 orders, or reservations, as they call it. Now, they are refundable reservations, so this is not like people are just dropping this money and may not get it. Yeah, you have to put a deposit down. The car doesn't come out for 3 years.
Nothing like planning ahead, huh?
It's not just a clever name.
Oh, because it's a Model 3.
I was wondering where he was going with that.
It was not even remotely funny.
Hey, we laughed.
But the failure of that was now
the
is
failure
now
was epic. So there's so much to talk about with Cricket the Model 3. Like, my brother wants to put some money down on this, and he's cheaper than I am. And
I don't know if that's possible.
No, it is. Oh, it is.
What's cool about Tesla cars?
So Tesla cars have a lot of cool stuff about them.
When you put the key in and turn it, the engine starts?
Well, there's
that's
no
the
engine.
Dang, Brian.
Oh, well, then it's better than my car right now.
There is no engine in this car.
This car. Same with my car. What a coincidence.
This car runs, I'll show you the video after, but this car runs entirely on love.
And unicorns.
And it's fantastic, and it's amazing. It's the best thing that ever happened. Now.
So how the hell does this thing go down the road?
It's got some kind of a chassis. It's electric powered. It's 100% electric powered. It's going to have rapid charging stations that allow you to charge in 20 minutes.
Oh, that sounds fascinating.
Right. And so cars...
When you need to juice up, you pull over, grab a beer, and when you come back out, the car's done.
Yeah. The cars are... They're about $35,000 is what the sticker price is going to be on
That's
it.
That's way not as bad as
That's
I thought
not
it was
as bad.
Be.
And there's government tax incentives that bring the price down to about 27.5.
Oh.
It's really not bad.
So that's why there's so many pre-orders, because this is a good deal.
When if you consider, I mean, most people probably spend $150-$200 a month if you're filling up once a week on gas. I mean, that's a huge cost savings.
That's a pretty long commitment, though, to say to yourself, hey, in 3 years from now, I'm going to buy that car when it comes
Well,
out.
So that's exactly right. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that point
up. That involves planning more than 3 hours from now, which is usually what I do.
Other automakers are taking advantage of the fact that you're going to have to wait 3 years for Tesla. Nissan came out with an ad, and the headline is, "No one should have any reservations about getting an electric car today."
Oh, I get it. That little reservation pun?
Good.
Yeah. So obviously Nissan has the Nissan Leaf, and that has been on the market for a little while now. That's a terrible name.
I drive a Leaf.
Hi. What do you drive? We're on a Tinder date, and
hey.
I'm curious to know what you drive.
Oh, it's just a little Leaf I drive.
I drive a weed.
Oh, that sounds, I'll see you later. Goodbye.
Yes.
A Leaf. So, you know, was it smart for Tesla? A, was it smart for Tesla to drop this 3 years out? And B, do you think that we're going to start seeing other automakers attacking Tesla in this way in order to get some market share away from them?
I think it's kind of cool just because it builds anticipation a little bit. Like, you know you want this brand, you want this car, you obviously think it's a good product, and you're willing to wait for 3 years, and the whole time you're probably telling people about it. And
well, yeah, it's like when, you know, remember when the iPhones came out, a year, 2 years, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, the wait is forever, right? Everybody pre-orders it. They wait in line. It's a big deal, you know? And half the time you can't get one, and that's part of the excitement. And I'm sure most people don't know this, but the story of Tucker. So the guy who created a car back in the 40s, mm-hmm. and it had all these aero.
It's a great movie about it, Brian. You should watch.
It is a really good movie.
Yeah.
So there's
called movies.
When you turn the wheel, the headlights would turn. It had windshields that popped out.
I think it had seatbelts too.
It had seatbelts.
Yeah.
It had a lot of safety features. I think it had a rear motor, which is all. It's all like new stuff, and like the big three shut him down. Like shut him down.
Social media didn't exist.
Those bastards.
Yeah. So
he'd have a Kickstarter campaign right now and that thing would be funded.
Right. So this kind of reminds me of that, but it's a modern day story, I feel like, and someone who's actually able to, you know, to make it work because of, yeah. you know.
Well, he hasn't spent any money on advertising. I mean, there's no television ads running, there's nothing on the radio.
He's spending it all on spaceships right now, isn't
it? Yeah.
So what, PR mostly?
I imagine they have to have a PR firm that's controlling some of the messaging, that's at least keeping tabs. There's got to be a social component, but there's no digital.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
And a huge, like, loyal following for this.
Yeah. Like, well, you don't think that in 3 years the big three are going to find ways to put some of these gizmos and gadgets into their cars?
Absolutely.
So by the time this comes out, it's going to feel old?
There's a good chance. There's a lot. I mean, think about what happens in a month. These days.
And that's an interesting question, because if you are one of the major automakers nowadays, do you want to do too much attacking of them because a year or two or 3 years from now, you hope to be in that same position?
So this kind of reminds me of the...
Speaking of Tinder dates.
God, this is... I'm going to go ahead and share this story, even though I probably shouldn't.
Please.
So John and I were our first big client like 8-9 years ago.
God, yeah.
We're traveling for this big client, and we're in a rental car.
It's a two-hour drive.
It's a two-hour drive where we're going, and our client is in the back seat. And I think he probably doesn't even remember this at this point, so even if he ever listened to this, he probably wouldn't remember it was him. He's in the back seat, and somehow the topic of hybrids comes up. And, of course, I launch into a Yash-style rant.
No filter.
A Yash-style rant where I just start kvetching about hybrids. And I have no problem with hybrids. I think it's wonderful if you want to save the planet. My statement of fact was, why do all hybrids have to look so fucking stupid? Like, why couldn't they make a hybrid that looked cool?
You remember when Honda came out with their hybrid in the early 2000s? It was so
awful.
It was gross.
It was terrible.
You want one that doesn't look like a gumball machine?
And when the Priuses came out, I don't think the Priuses are all that attractive. I mean, they're better now.
They're better
now.
But
when the Priuses first came out, I'm like, that thing looks terrible. And there's nothing in the anatomy of the car that dictates that a hybrid has to be disgusting. Like, it has to be so fucking gross. So, I mean, I get it. You want it to look aerodynamic or whatever, but you don't have to. There's no reason for this.
Yeah.
So I'm launching into this tirade. And I mean, it was a good, I mean, realistically, it was probably a good minute and a half or 2 minutes of.
Well, that's short for you.
Well, you know, I had new person in
his
the car.
His attention span was a little longer back then.
Yeah.
And it just kind of gets quiet. And he sits back there for maybe another 10 seconds and then says, I drive a Prius. Now, this is the client that eventually would, the money that we earned off of this project would start our production company.
Hey, Brian, ask how many projects we've had with them since.
Yeah. So after that, you went to the hospital to have two feet removed from your body.
From my mouth.
Yours from your mouth and John's from your ass.
So, no, I mean, he was honestly, the client was really cool. He didn't care. I think he's just...
He makes enough money, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, he didn't give a shit.
He probably enjoyed that
plus,
moment.
Plus,
to make
we
these
had,
people feel really silly.
Plus, we had been hanging out enough to where I'm sure he knew that I wasn't, like, some dick. Like,
yeah.
Oh, then, I don't know. But, we hadn't been hanging out enough then.
Thank you. Wanted to say a quick thank you to our producers this week. We have Brianna.
Brianna.
Hello.
Brianna. I'll get it right one day.
I say Tour de France, but not Brianna.
Galen, as well as Levy, who have done great jobs. I'm not sure what their last names are, but it would be great if I would remember. Maybe next week. You can follow us each individually on Twitter. You can follow me at OhMyYosh. That's OhMyYeosh.
And I am at Rock Solid B Walk.
At John Ruff, JonRuff.
We still don't have a Twitter for for the show, but we will eventually. So I've
these things take time.
They do. So I've been Yosh.
I've been Brian.
I am John.
Ooh. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
You've just wasted part of your day listening to this nonsense. AdLib is recorded and produced at Push Button Productions in downtown Orlando. Visit pushbuttonproductions.com. Sign up for the RSS feed and come back for more next week.